You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week I did get to talk to Brooke about the ACT budget, which got released last week. Fortunately, we don't have time to air it, but I will be podcasting it if you are interested to hear about what they had to put forward. But in the second half of my chat with her, we talked about the low attendance of Māori and Pacifica students at school, as well as the school up in Northland, which was teaching their students about white privilege. And we talked about whether there's a place for teaching white privilege in schools across Aotearoa and what this means for our children going forward. So here's our little chat.
I think we have to be really honest with ourselves that we are in a very different situation when it comes to our budget than we have been in many previous years. I mean, the COVID situation kind of came as a massive shock to everybody, but we have to start planning for how we go forward. And what ACT is saying is that one of the really important aspects is public health, and we need to be really clear about what are we doing in our budget, what sort of money are we setting aside to make a plan for the future, to make sure that we don't have to go in and out of lockdowns like we did last year, which was a huge blow to businesses, to people's employment, but also for a lot of uncertainty and anxiety in the community about people, even at school, not being sure when they were going to be able to go back and see their friends. So we want to make a plan that actually takes into account public health and says, instead of looking at doing public health through our DHB system, through the Ministry of Health, we need a separate organisation that's actually set up, ready to go, that controls the public health response to do with COVID. So it's called an epidemic response. That would be even taking into consideration new technology, things like Elam, doing what the Taiwanese have done. And I know the Taiwanese have had an unfortunate outbreak in this last week, but they have all the technology ready to go, so they don't actually need to go through a massive lockdown. And that technology will stand them in good stead for the future, and we just don't see that at this moment in New Zealand.
So you mentioned businesses, and also in David Seymour's budget speech, he talked about businesses not being given love over the past year. But surely isn't being given the wage subsidy and that amount of support going through COVID and a recession, isn't that a huge amount of support?
I think the wage subsidy, it did need to happen because we had those lockdowns. And so if you look at the reality of what it is to run a business on the ground, if you don't have the ability for customers to come in to buy your products, to even have those transport and logistic lines between cities, remembering that we also stopped a lot of trucks running through the country, a lot of postal services, most businesses had to come to a standstill. And that is incredibly hard because you've still got to pay employees. You've still got to pay for the cost of running a business. You know, things like your overheads of electricity, making sure the water's running and that you've still got ground rent. If you don't have any money coming in, then that's a real issue. But what we're saying is, yes, that kind of worked for then. We need to be looking long term. We can't continue to look at wage subsidies as a solution. We need to be thinking, how do we make sure that businesses don't have to go through lockdowns? They don't have to go through those periods of uncertainty and coming to a standstill, like we have seen in Taiwan, because they have a really smart, technology-focused way of doing public health.
So looking forward for businesses, ACT has proposed introducing a wage freeze for the minimum wage and as well as 90-day trials. Surely won't this negatively impact those who are needing businesses to create a living, considering that cost of living is going up, which means that there's a potential need for the increase of minimum wage and the potential exploitation that could come with the introduction of 90-day trials?
No, I disagree. What we're saying with the introduction of the 90-day trials is we've actually seen a lot of people coming back through the border from overseas, people who may have been on their OE, people who may have been working in a different industry, and you take even the example of airline pilots and air hostesses who have en masse lost jobs because we're not being able to go international. Those sorts of people require new jobs. But if you're a company that's already thinking of that it might be struggling, or you're not sure what the next year or the next 2 years might look like, are you going to have a hesitancy on taking on a new employee if you don't think, well, I'm not quite sure, they may have worked in a different industry, I do want to give them a go, but if it doesn't work out, then I'm stuck with an employee who's never worked in this industry before, and I've tried to give them a chance and it's not working out. So we're saying, let's allow employees to give people a chance by allowing them to step back if it's not going to work out.
Okay, so the last point I wanted to talk about when it comes to ACT's budget is around policies when it comes to mining and oil exploration. So what does ACT continue to propose policy which has a negative impact on Earth when it then has a negative impact on society as well by doing so?
The way that we look at energy production in New Zealand is that we actually do need electricity. We need things to make sure that our computers go, that our phones get charged, sometimes even if our electric vehicles can be charged. There are so many different needs that we have just to live in New Zealand, and a lot of that is based on electricity. If we don't have energy sources, we have to get them from somewhere else. And so the ACT Party says it would actually be better for us to have oil exploration, to have mining in New Zealand, rather than needing those things to be done overseas and then shipped over. Because if we look at the globe, we're a very small player, but we also still have the same constraints as every other country. We do actually need power. So we'd say, let's do that here. Because it's actually going to be less environmentally degrading than getting coal shipped over from Indonesia.
Shouldn't we just put more funding towards things like we saw last week? We saw the introduction of huge solar farms that are going to be built. Shouldn't we be putting more energy and resources towards renewable energy? Part of the ACT budget was saying that renewable energy wasn't a sure thing, so shouldn't we just focus on making sure that it is a sure thing instead?
Well, when renewable energy isn't 100%. I mean, if you look at things like, does the rain fall every day? Maybe sometimes, but not all the time. We've had some dam shortages at the moment, which has actually had people really concerned that electricity prices will completely spike and go really high over winter. So there are always costs to going completely renewable as well. But I take your point. There should be a range of options. We're just saying that mining and oil should also be on the table too.
Okay, so I wanted to move on to our next topic for today, which was around school attendance. So ACT has pointed out that low attendance of Māori and Pacifica students, it's a problem, but has failed to point out that for many of those students not attending, it is because they have to go out and work and support their families. How does ACT propose we support these families so these students can go to school?
Well, the statistics that I've seen are a little bit more complicated than children needing to go out and work. The statistics I saw were around 50% of Māori kids from the age of 6 to 16 don't attend school regularly. I mean, these are very young children. And so we actually have to wonder, how do we support children to actually go to school? And the ACT Party had a solution for that, and it was called charter schools. And we saw children that had been truant, had never turned up to school, some had completely dropped out, who actually wanted to go to school when they found an environment that suited them. Because we have to acknowledge, not every child is the same. Not every child is going to react to the same education standards in the same way. And at the charter schools, if I take Vanguard as an example, they actually had truancy statistics. They had to report to the Ministry of Health, and they were going to get this established if they didn't have people showing up to class. So they changed their whole model for schooling to make sure that kids actually wanted to turn up and wanted to attend, and it worked for them. So we're saying we actually need to be looking honestly at what schools are providing and maybe asking whether or not that is standing in the way of people wanting to go to school in the first place.
Okay, so continuing on with school, one of the things that the Act has put out in a press release this week was around white privilege being taught in schools. So is it not important for our children to understand that racial issues are a large part of society and it does impact the livelihoods of everyone?
We absolutely need to debate issues around race and inequality, but I don't think adding white privilege to the curriculum is the way to do it. That definitely to me sounds like a way to divide children rather than provide them a positive and inclusive education. So I think, you know, children should be taught the basics of learning, also how to succeed, how to set goals, how to aspire for more. Children should not be brought in front of the class to explain that the things that they've done well are not actually because of themselves, it's because of their race. I think that's a really dangerous precedent to be setting for children when we want them to be growing up believing that we are all equal under the law.
Well, education around white privilege is not about making people apologise for something they cannot change, but understanding that there are biases in society which do impact everyone. And if we teach our next generation about this at an earlier point in life, won't this necessarily lead to a more fair and equitable society where people are going to be recognising that race does play a part in how people go about their livelihood?
I think it's far too complex to only be talking about things like white privilege. I think that in itself seeks to sow discord and could actually sow seeds of bitterment and resentment from a really young population. I think we also have to acknowledge that we have things, you know, you've got disabilities, you've got people who are different levels of attractiveness, and we're never supposed to talk about that. There are all sorts of different elements about people, but we all just have to acknowledge we're all individuals. Everybody is different, and I don't want to have children growing up in New Zealand society being pitted against each other as being groups of two people based on their race, being Māori or Pākehā. Because, I mean, that in itself is not even that simple. We have over 200 ethnicities in New Zealand, and I don't think we should be dividing children based on their race at any point in our schooling curriculum. I want to see children inclusive, acknowledging differences, but also just getting on with it.
Isn't that white privilege is acknowledging differences so that students can understand that and go forward and make sure that they're consciously thinking about this going forward and how they go about their relationships with others?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we take the example of the kid in Whangarei being asked to get in front of her class and say what she thinks was her white privilege. I think that is very distressing for children, but is also not acknowledging the fact that you can actually do well for yourself because you have set yourself goals. I think it creates potentially an ability to sow discord, but doesn't actually do anything to help the problem. Nobody should have to be standing in front of their class being apologetic about what colour their skin is.
So on a wider view, is admitting that white privilege existing and impacting people's lives really a radical and divisive idea?
I think it is a harm to human dignity for children to have to apologise for the colour of their skin. And I don't think having children do that at school is actually going to help any problem of how do we make sure that all children get a good school education and that all children are therefore set up for the best start in life. I think we want to end up in a society where instead of looking at these ways to sow division. We're actually looking for ways to be inclusive. And I don't think pointing out these differences is going any way to helping build a better society.
So are you saying that we should be ignoring the problems that face society currently instead of pointing them out and providing an education around them instead?
I think we do need to acknowledge that there is inequality in this country, but I don't think it is as simple as telling children that they need to point out what parts of their lives they think have been impacted by white privilege.
Then how should we address this? How should we teach and show children that there are such inequalities that are affecting people's lives?
I think we need to be teaching children that no matter what people's skin colour, no matter what their educational abilities, no matter if they're tall or short, there's so many different factors. Everybody is a person, and everybody should be treated with respect. I think creating a classroom environment where people are intentionally being placed in different categories and being told that they are different in that way is harmful rather than helping.
That was Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party talking to me about school attendance as well as white privilege being taught in schools. If you have anything you want to say about this, feel free to text us on 5395 or give us a call on 309 3879.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.